Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Today is the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is all about light. It's all about God's light shining in and through Jesus in our dark world. Epiphany marks the time where God reveals his brightness and his light outside of just the Jewish world, but to the entire world. Jesus came as the Jewish Messiah, according to Jewish prophecies, to fulfill Jewish promises. But in Jesus, what we see is that God was to reign as king, not just over the Jewish people, but God was to reign as king over the nations. And so it says in Psalm 2 that God is giving his son the nations as his inheritance. And so here in the season of Epiphany, we're thinking together and we're reflecting upon this truth that King Jesus is not only the King of the Jews, but he is the King of the world. And the kingdom that he is announcing is a revolutionary kingdom, a kingdom that is not like any of the other kingdoms of the world. And all those who follow Jesus through the waters of baptism can enter into this kingdom. And that's going to be our topic. That's going to be our theme for this morning. That's the title of the message, Through the Waters of Baptism. Think with me, if you would, about the story of Jesus. Jesus is born of Mary, and Joseph is there, and the shepherds, they come to worship. Jesus is born, and we celebrate that at Christmas. Christmas time, that with Jesus, we see that he is Emmanuel, God is with us. And so Jesus is born, but right after his birth, the family has to flee to Egypt. Herod hears that a king has been born, a rival king. And so Herod does what empires always do, and they send out the death squads to kill, because Herod wants no rival king. And so the family, they flee to Egypt. And then when the time is right, they come back. And when Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the family, when they come back, they settle in the town of Nazareth. And there in Nazareth, Jesus grows up. Jesus spends his boyhood growing up with his dad, and he joins the family business. As Jesus becomes an adult, he's a carpenter. He's working a blue-collar job with his dad. He gets up every day, puts on his boots, his hard hat, gets his lunch pail, and goes with dad, and they're building stuff. This is what Jesus does up until the time that he begins his public ministry. Living in Nazareth with his family, going to synagogue, worshiping the living God, working with his dad. But then into the Jesus story comes John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a wild figure. John the Baptist was living among a group of Jewish people that had separated themselves from the rest of the community. And John the Baptist is a wild man. He wears wild clothes, and his diet is bugs and sugar. I mean, he's eating locusts and wild honey. This is John the Baptist, and he's out in the wilderness, and he is proclaiming God's kingdom and baptizing people in the Jordan River. And so here comes Jesus. You heard this in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 3. Here comes Jesus to be baptized by John the Baptist. And in the gospel of John, in John's account, when John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, John the Baptist says, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So somehow John the Baptist knew when he saw Jesus that Jesus was the one, that he was the Christ, that he was the one to come to be this reigning king, the one that all of the law and the prophets are all pointing towards, God's ruling and reigning king, the one who is going to bring God's kingdom to earth has come, and in doing so, he will take away the sins of the world. And so Jesus comes to John to be baptized in the Jordan River. Now, I want you to pause for just a second because you got to understand the importance of this river. This is an important river. It's important to note that when John the Baptist is baptizing, that he's doing so in this particular river, the Jordan. This is an important river because this is the river that the people of God crossed when they were leaving the wilderness and going into the promised land. So grab the remote control. Let's hit rewind for just a second. Let's pause the story with John the Baptist and Jesus and go back, way back into the book of Genesis. God calls a man Abram and gives him a promise. Well, God's going to change his name to Abraham. That's how you know that guy. God calls Abraham and gives him a promise and says, Abraham, you're going to have this big old ginormous family. Ginormous, that's a Hebrew word. You're going to have this huge, ginormous family. And he's talking, Abraham's old, he doesn't have any children. You're going to have this ginormous family, Abraham, God says. And through your family, through your descendants, I'm going to bless all the nations, all the families of the earth. God promises Abraham and his descendants a land, a place where they can worship the living creator God. But as the story is told, the people of God, the people of Abraham, are carried off as slaves in Egypt. And they're living the slave life. They are cheap labor for the empire, making bricks for all the great buildings of the empire. And as the story is told, God goes down to Egypt because he hears the cries of his people. These are the people of promise. God says, through these people, I'm going to bless the whole world. But now they're slaves and they're oppressed. And God hears their cries. And God goes down to Egypt to purchase for himself a people. So God goes and talks to Moses. You remember the Moses story. God goes down and he raises up Moses and he says, Moses, you're to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And so Moses does that in the plagues and you know the story. And then they cross through the Red Sea and Moses leads the people of God out of slavery in Egypt and onto the promised land. This is the great Exodus story, the Exodus event. And they are wandering around in the wilderness, being led by God, but very unsure. And they're in the wilderness and they don't know. Some of the people want to go back to Egypt. And other people, they've heard the stories of the promised land and they're headed that way. And they're getting closer to the promised land and they find themselves just on the outside of the land that God has promised to the people of Abraham. And what separates them from the promised land is the Jordan River. And Moses is able to lead the children of Israel up to the banks of the Jordan River. Right on the other side is the promised land. And there Moses dies. And God raises up another leader, Joshua. And Joshua is instructed to lead the children of Israel through the Jordan River and into the promised land. Now, again, we're going to get back to John the Baptist and Jesus. We paused that story, but you got to see this thing about Joshua. Do you know what the Hebrew name is, or the Hebrew word for Joshua is? It's Yeshua. I'm not going to give you lots of Hebrew. I've given you ginormous, and now I'm giving you Yeshua. Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua. Now, the reason I want you to catch that is, do you know what Jesus' name is in Hebrew? It's Yeshua. So here, Moses has led the children of Israel through the wilderness. They're at the banks of the Jordan. And now Joshua, Yeshua, is leading the people through the Jordan into the promised land. God has a plan to bless and save the whole world. And it's all dependent on Yeshua going through the waters of the Jordan River. Now, grab the remote once more, and let's go now fast forward back to John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus comes to John to be baptized, and there at the Jordan River, John the Baptist is announcing the kingdom of God, the revolutionary kingdom of God. And so John the Baptist says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was the message of John the Baptist. Repent, that is, rethink things, realign your life based on the reality of the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a kingdom not in heaven. He says the kingdom of heaven. It's not a kingdom in heaven, but it's a kingdom from heaven that has come to earth. John the Baptist is preparing the way for the king by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And who comes before John the Baptist but Yeshua, Jesus? He comes to John the Baptist. And again, John the Baptist recognizes him. John the Baptist knows who this is. And so John protests. And he says, no, Jesus, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. You're the one. I'm just getting ready for you. I'm just preparing the people, getting ready for you. Now you're here. Here you go. You can take over the baptism duties. But Jesus says, no, you have to baptize me. And in Matthew 3, specifically, what Jesus says to John is this. Jesus says, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Righteousness. Jesus says, no, John, you got to baptize me. I have to be baptized. I have to go through the Jordan River because this will fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness is a Jewish word. It's a covenant word. It's connected to God's promises to Abraham. Jesus didn't need to repent of his personal sin. Jesus wasn't being baptized to cover or to wash away personal sins. You know, we believe as a church in baptism for the forgiveness of sins, that baptism is this outward sign of something happening inward as we come to Christ and we find our sins forgiven. And so the church sometimes uses that language about sins being washed away because baptism is about this enactment of God's forgiveness. And I love baptizing people. We have baptism coming up here in just a couple of weeks, and I love baptizing people. And sometimes I'll talk to parents about baptizing their kids, and I'll explain, you know, what's happening here. And we believe that baptism is this connection to Jesus Christ and his saving and forgiving work. And sometimes I ask, you know, mom and dad, I'm like, now, I mean, if you got a real ornery kid, I can just hold them under the water. And we can leave them down there and make, have you repented of your sins? Yeah, okay, now you can come back up. Jesus did not need to be baptized because he had personal sin. That's not what he says to John. Jesus says, John, you got to baptize me because my baptism is going to fulfill all righteousness. What Jesus is doing is he is reenacting the Exodus story. His name is Yeshua. And just as Joshua had to lead the children of Israel through the Jordan into the promised land, so Jesus is reenacting that, going through the Jordan River, announcing that this is now a new Exodus, and we are entering into God's now new creation. So it wasn't because of his personal sin. This was to be a sign. Jesus leads people through the waters of the Jordan in order to lead all who would believe into God's revolutionary kingdom. Jesus is being a leader of the new people of God, the new humanity, leading people through the waters of the Jordan into the kingdom of God. And so, do you believe? Do you want to believe? Do you want to believe that this kingdom is real? Do you want to believe that this is a different kind of kingdom? It's a kingdom of forgiveness. It's a kingdom of healing. It's a kingdom where things are made right. Do you believe? Do you want to come with us? because you're invited to join us. And if you want to come, you too will have to repent. That is, you will have to begin to rethink some things. You have to rethink your life based on this new revolutionary kingdom. Jesus is being very faithful to God's plan. This is what he says when he says to John the Baptist, it's fitting that you baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. That is, this is the right way to fulfill God's plan, to reenact this. Jesus is remaining faithful to God's plan, but everything gets reworked now in Jesus. We have to all begin to rethink everything. Not only our future lives, we have to rethink even the past. Everything gets reworked through Jesus. This crossing of the Jordan will be different than the crossing of the Jordan with Joshua and the people of God in the ancient times. It's going to be different because this kingdom is revolutionary. This is a kingdom like nothing anyone has ever seen. Joshua, when he crossed the Jordan, went and killed the Canaanites who were there. Jesus crosses the Jordan and he saves the Canaanites who are there. Joshua crosses the Jordan and he kills God's enemies. Jesus crosses the Jordan and there he is killed by the enemies of God. This kingdom, it's a completely different and upside down kingdom. This is a true revolutionary kingdom because the kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom that's defined by love. Not by hate, not by who you're against, not by your enemies, not by anger, not by violence, but a kingdom that is defined and shaped by love. This is what makes this kingdom truly revolutionary, because it's the kingdom of love. This is what Jesus is leading us into through the Jordan River, opening up the kingdom of God to us. And what we see is this is a kingdom of love. Love is the revolution. But I understand for us, for modern English speaking people, we have a problem because, well, we have this deficiency in the English language because there is only one word for the word love, but we use that word to mean different things, right? So you love chocolate ice cream and you love pizza and you love the Chiefs and you love your mama and you love your family and you love Jesus. And, you know, we have all these different kinds of love. But for Christians, when we use the word love, when we say that this is a kingdom that's defined by love, we mean this is a kingdom of love. Well, it's not love that is based on a quality that we give something. For example, it's not so much that Christians say, well, this is worthy of my love, and so I will love it. This is not love for Christians. For Christians, love is a quality that is connected to our connectivity to God, who is love. In other words, the God that we worship is love. That's the essence and nature of God. And as we are connected to this God, we are transformed into people of love, and then just love oozes from us. We just ooze love. We don't choose to love certain things. We just are people of love. Because this is the kind of love that we find in Christ. The God that we worship is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The word that we use for that is Trinity. That God is one, and God has been revealed to us in these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have been loving one another for all eternity. We're able to say that God is love, but God is not, it's not self-love. God doesn't love himself. God is not an egoist. God's not being selfish in his love. When we say that God is love, we're saying that within God, there, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these three that have been loving one another. And in this self-giving love relationship that has existed from before even creation, that this is who God is. The very nature of God is the love that we find within the Trinity. And so the revolutionary kingdom is based on that love. A love that is self-giving, a love that is co-suffering, a love that is not me first. It's not a what can you do for me kind of love. That's not the love that we see within the nature of God. What we see is nothing but selfless, self-giving love. And this is at the heart of the revolutionary kingdom. This kind of love. This is what shapes and defines who we are. It's a love that we see in the Trinity, and the Trinity is never on better display than right here as we consider the baptism of Jesus. So in Matthew 3, and you heard it in our gospel reading, in Matthew 3 where we see the baptism of Jesus, Jesus, the Son, is being baptized, and as he comes up out of the water, God, the Holy Spirit, descends upon him. So you got the Son and the Spirit. And then you hear the voice of God the Father saying, "This is the Son that I love, and he makes me happy." And this is a picture of what the nature of God looks like. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father saying to his Son, "I love you. You're the one that I love, and you make me happy." We see this in the baptism of Jesus. And so for us, baptism becomes a doorway. Baptism becomes a portal for us to leave this broken down world and enter into God's new world. To leave behind kingdoms built on empire and power and idolatry and injustice and enter into a kingdom where God rules and reigns, a kingdom of love. The doorway for us is baptism. And so all those who follow Jesus through the waters of baptism can enter into this revolutionary kingdom. Because if you want to come with us and if you want to be a part of this kingdom of love that's turning everything upside down, the doorway is baptism. And Sunday, January 29th, just a couple of weeks, we'll be baptizing right here at Word of Life Church. And so if you are serious about connecting your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to experience the love and new life we've been talking about, the way in is through baptism. And you can get signed up in the foyer online. And I encourage you to do so. Get signed up. I'll connect with you after you get signed up, talk to you more about what baptism looks like. But it's the portal. It's the doorway in. And check this out. For those who follow Jesus in the water, through the waters of baptism, you get to hear the same voice that Jesus heard. You get to hear from God the Father that God loves you. As you come through the waters of baptism into the revolutionary kingdom, you get to hear God the Father say, "You are my son, you are my daughter, and I love you. I am so happy with you." Because no matter what people have said to you or about you, or no matter the words that get repeated over and over into your head, the truth is that you are a person of value and worth and dignity because you were created in the image of God. And God does indeed love you. And God cares about you. So many things around us in this broken down world system communicates to us that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not good looking enough, that we are simply people who are not worthy of love. But in the revolutionary kingdom, you hear a different voice. It's a voice that says, "You are my son and my daughter, and I love you," God says, "and I am happy with you." The announcement of the kingdom of God is this: come to Jesus. Follow Jesus where he will take you. And you will find the life that you've always dreamed of. The life that you've always wanted, whether you've been able to articulate it or not. The message of the kingdom is come to God. the way that you are. Come to Jesus the way that you are. That's all you have to do is, all you have to do is humble yourself and come to Jesus, and he will accept you the way that you are. Now, as you start hanging out with Jesus and hanging out with the people of God, what you find out is you're going to change. Things will start changing. Sometimes fast, but this change happens over time because, again, this is a kingdom defined by love. And when you encounter the love of God, it changes things. You can't stay the same. When you encounter the real love of God, and this is foundational for being the people of the kingdom. Being people in God's kingdom, connected to the kingdom of God, we have to first respond to and receive God's love for us as individuals. We have to experience the love of God, because it's that experience that will then transform us and change us into people of love. Sometimes things start changing real fast, but to be honest from experience, this change is a slow process. Some things will change quick, but a lot of this change takes time. So all you have to do is come. Come to Jesus. And so you're like, well, how do I do that? First portal, the first doorway, the first way is baptism. And we believe, as the church believes, in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism is a one-time event. You can come to Jesus, following him through the waters of baptism, connecting your life to Jesus Christ. That's one way. That's where things get started. But then Jesus has also given us a table where we can come, well, at least week by week, to come to Jesus and encounter him. And so we're going to get ready to do that right now. Why don't you stand up with me? And we'll prepare ourselves to come to the table right now. Why not? Jesus.